that's amazing that people are responding 6 months later. That is so cool.
It's really cool. I actually, those are my favorite ones to get because I'm like, wow, someone actually really thought about this. So those are so fun.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elvas, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and-play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, let's read today's email. Hey, congrats on your success with email swipes. I immediately noticed you've released more episodes than most podcasters ever do. Keep it up. I'd love to listen to the show to support it. What's one of your favorite recent episodes that I can start with? Drop me a link so I can listen. On my end, I created a quiz called PodScore. It's a data-driven free quiz that helps podcasters reach their goals faster. Plus, it tells you which of the 12 podcaster personality types you are. I'm the software savvy savant. I'd love for you to take the quiz. When you send me your recent favorite episode, let me know your podcaster personality type too. If there's anything I can do to be helpful, let me know. Everything I do is in my signature. So glad to be connected. Looking forward, Alex Sanfilippo. Focused on helping podcast hosts and guests reach more listeners and grow their income so they can change more lives. How I Serve Podcasters. PodMatch, matching podcast guests and hosts for interviews. PodScore, take the quiz to find your podcaster personality type. Podcasters Report, see how your podcast compares to the industry. I'm a real person, but if you don't want to hear from me, click here. I respect your privacy and won't email you again either way.
Alex, thank you so much for joining. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, Nikki, thank you so much for having me. My name is Alex Sanfilippo. I'm the founder of a website called podmatch.com. And PodMatch is a software that automatically connects podcast guests and podcast hosts for interviews. I always say it works like a dating app, but instead of connecting you for dates, connects you for podcast interviews. In addition, I'm a podcast host and educator in the podcasting space. 100% of the time, what I focus on is podcasting for guests and hosts alike, just trying to help them build a level up and grow their influence and creativity.
Super. So tell us about this email that you created. Clearly, you are serving the podcast industry amazingly well and trying to get PodMatch out there to podcasters. So this is kind of where this email sits. So what was the strategy behind it and how did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, so I actually realized that I know PodMatch helps podcast guests and hosts. I know the value it has, but it does have a price. And I used to just send people straight to that. I know it helps, but that's a hard pill for someone to swallow, being like, hey, cold email to me, and you're trying to sell me something. And so this was an alternative to that. So basically what we decided to do with this email is instead of leading people to PodMatch, we lead people to a quiz that we created instead. And so we want to acknowledge that they have achieved something in podcasting. So that's the first thing we kind of open up with. And then we go into, hey, there's a quiz. It's like fun personality quiz, but also will help give you a roadmap for how you can get better results from your podcast. And everything there is free. There's no paywalls, no upsells anywhere involved in it. As a matter of fact, if you click through stuff, you're going to see it mentioned. It's not ever said, okay, and here, you have to use PodMatch to do this stuff. It's just not the route we wanted to take because we really wanted to help people make it in podcasting. It was really the goal behind this. So the whole motivating factor was just, can we do better and have some sort of free educational resource that really serves people? And that was the entire idea behind what we've got here.
And I think it's so cool because, you know, people will talk about like give value, nurture the relationship. But when it comes like push comes to shove, you know, they'll send like a white paper or some blog post that doesn't actually nurture the relationship. But here, not only is it something that's not necessarily even connected where they don't even have to use it in order to feel that value, which you are promoting it throughout a little bit, which is nice so that they get that value. But as well, they're seeing you, they're interfacing with you, and you're giving them value that then contributes to your success. Because if they continue podcasting, because we know so many podcasters don't continue, if they continue podcasting, they're going to be more likely to use your services. So it's really such a great win-win. And I love the idea. When I saw it, I was just like, wow, this is so cool. There's so many pieces here that you do that support your main goal, that really people can come at it from so many different angles. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, that was important because you just mentioned the data point, Nikki, that a lot of people don't make it in podcasting. And I just pulled up the numbers today. There's only about 50% chance that people will make it through 2 months of a podcast.
Wow.
12% people make it to a year, and 6% people make it to 2 years. And that's typically where I find that 100 episode mark. If you do one a week, it takes 2 years. That 6% is really where I find meaningful results begin to happen if you don't have everything set up correctly. And most of us, we learn as we go, right? So it takes about that much time to really gain that traction, figure out our lane and things like that. And some people do it faster. But in general, that's really like the motivating factor. I was like, man, yes, Podmatch helps, but people don't realize that right away. And that's okay. Let's come up with something else that can help them position themselves to be in that 6% that are going to make it to where the results really start kicking in, and even help them yield those results faster, because that failure rate was just so high. Mm-hmm. That to me is just a real shame in podcasting to see that.
Yeah, especially because everyone starts out so excited, because right? It really is such a great medium where you're meeting people and networking with people and having great conversations. And then it's like, oh, I have to edit this every week. Oh,
right.
I have to find new guests. Oh,
exactly. Yep. And trying to kind of get rid of some of the stigma around there and train people in some ways to do the things that took guys like me 3 years to figure out. And it's not all me. The education comes from a lot of people. And so it's just a matter of, can we help people figure out how to make this thing work as a long-term part of their life faster? Again, I keep on going to that being the motivating factor. That's really ultimately what it's all about, because with my company, we've done our best to tie our result to how the industry is doing as a whole. So the way that we earn, the way we make, is based off of how well we contribute to serve the industry. I come from a serve first background. That's my whole life mentality. And so we've done our best to really align the company in that way.
That's amazing. And you see it also, we were speaking before I hit record, how Alex has a partnership with Riverside and speaks to them and helps them with their features. You really do that. You really tie yourself to the industry. That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so who contributed to this email idea? Was it your team working together? Did you just sit down and write it one day? What was the creation process like?
So we already had the quiz and the course, because again, the whole idea was, how can we help people stick with podcasting? How can we encourage them, motivate them, and give them some tools? And ultimately, we can only lead someone to water, can't make them drink, right? So we wanted to just help get them there. And I realized, I was like, man, we don't talk about this much. Like, this has been really helpful. And we were even able to see the data. Like, people who go through that quiz and jump into the course, which again, all freely included, those people were the ones that were part of that 6% that are making it. I was like, we've got to get this in front of more people. I enjoy writing. I'm not always the best. Nikki, you'll love to hear this. I come from a big corporate background. So I had to learn how to write when I got out of that, because it was all so structured and proper and legal and all
and
that.
All
so I had
the
to like
jargon.
Yes. It took me a while and I'm still not the best at it, but I have developed my voice really well. The way I talk in person is the way I talk in email as well. And it's taken me a while. Weirdly enough, it's not supernatural to be able to do that well. And mm-hmm. So I'm getting better and better at it. So for me, I took a couple weeks to write it. It took me about 2 weeks. And I'd always just do it when I'm feeling inspired and I just tweak the verbiage. I would let the computer talk to me so I could listen to it and make sure that does that sound like something that I would actually say. And then I had my wife read it and she had tons of feedback, my business partner. And then we launched it to a small group of people just to check. And whenever confusion came up, because sometimes I say things that don't make sense, like all of us do, there were some things that just didn't make sense to people. So we'd go in there and tweak that verbiage. But all in all, I'd say it was a month long project to come up with just that one email. And there's no sequence after it. If you never respond, you never hear from us again. We make sure that you automatically get added to I don't know all the technical term, but some sort of blacklist, unless you sign up for something we do, then it'll bring you back into it. But it's just one email that goes out, and I wrote it, and I think it does a pretty good job right now.
I was going to say, it really does capture your voice, where it really does feel very personal and very helpful, legitimately helpful. You'll get a lot of cold email where it feels like the person is trying to be helpful, but it actually feels like they're trying to help themselves. And this actually felt legitimately helpful. I think you touched on that before, where you were saying, I want to lead to somewhere that gives immediate value, not somewhere that gives value for money, not to our paid product, but somewhere else. So I think that's part of what makes it so helpful. But I think also just naturally your voice, like you said, you come from a serve first background. I think that just comes through as well. I love the workflow of having the computer read it to you. You hear that, how you're supposed to read your writing to yourself. But I love the idea of having it read it to you. So you're actually listening more than when you read it yourself. And then obviously giving it to other people for feedback, like personal people, like your wife, that's a great idea. And then business people as well. And then of course, getting the feedback and iterating on it. It's so important for cold email. I think that's like the number one strategy that people miss in cold email, is all the iteration that has to go into it after you send it and get feedback. Just keep iterating and iterating on it. So Kudos. Good job.
Thank you. We actually implemented this in our entire way we do, even just like a blast. Let's just use Podmatch as an example. People that are on there occasionally, we'll have an update go out. We want to email the people. We segment the whole thing out where it sends one email every X minutes and we choose what the X minutes are, but it can be changed at any point. So we'll start sending it. And some people will come back and sometimes be like, hey, you had a typo. We fixed the typo. So the next person who gets it a few minutes later, it comes through. And so it'll go through the whole thing that way. But we find that typically there's 5 or 10 changes just because sometimes my voice, again, doesn't really translate to written when you can't hear me speaking it, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, and so we've done our whole thing that way. But you're right. Like I've found you have to make those changes because if you just set it and forget it, it doesn't always land the way you want it to.
That's a really great idea to just give yourself that buffer time to fix things. I love how Gmail, I mean, I don't know how recent it was, but it feels recent to me. It's probably a few years ago. It lets you undo a send. That was like, whoa.
Needed that one. Yes. Feels like yesterday, but I needed it 100 years ago.
Exactly. Yes. So this is kind of like that equivalent. Okay. So you mentioned that there's no follow-up email. What was the decision behind that to not give a follow-up?
Yeah, this is probably where your wisdom, Nikki, would be able to come in. I didn't want to come across as annoying or pushy at all. And so we send it and we just let it be. I don't know other than I didn't want to be annoying. I don't want to add someone to like a full on email list. It's like they're in a full segment. Because I know for me, that happens a lot. Like I end up on emails and typically I'm not even sure why. Yes. Oh, I found out why recently. LinkedIn, somewhere someone left me a review saying that Alex was a great coach. And so my LinkedIn messages are always like, hey, are you looking for more coaching clients? Nikki, I'm not a coach and never have been, but somehow these people also get my email address and they add me to like these segments that are 20, 30 emails long, no all about way. How I can grow my coaching practice. I don't have a coaching practice. And so I believe in treating people the way you want to be treated. For me, I don't want all those emails. And sometimes I feel rude unsubscribing or responding saying, can you remove me from this list? I tend to be a fairly nice guy who doesn't love confrontation. Naturally, it doesn't come to me at least. And so for me, I was just like, you know what? The way I want people to treat me is try once. If I don't respond, then let's just leave it at that. And so we decided to do one. And the interesting thing is, even this week already, I've had 5 or maybe 6 people respond. They got this email 6 months ago. And they're saying, hey, it took me a long time to respond, but I really wanted to prioritize this. And they're just now getting back to me. And I have to imagine if I had 10, 20 emails going out, eventually they'd just be like, forget this. This is just too much for me to keep up with. But I'm finding people are saving it and saying, yeah, I came back to it. I took a break from podcasting, but I'm back now. So the deciding factor ultimately was just my own personal preference that I wanted to treat people the way I like to be treated. If it's a best practice, I don't know. So I don't want to give that advice on your podcast. You're the true expert. They would know the right move here probably.
No, I think that's excellent because there are best practices that don't fit either certain industries or certain personalities or just the way that you want to do business. So if that doesn't work for you and it's working that people are opening and responding and you're hitting your goals, then great. Why not do business the way that you want to do business if it's working? So clearly you can't just, you know, sip mojitos on the beach all day because that's the way you want to do business. But there's so much room to do things the way that we want to do things and to build relationships that we want the way we want to, because ultimately that's what email is all about, that we don't have to follow the best practices if they don't feel right for us, as long as we're reviewing metrics and making sure that we're still hitting the results that we want.
It's good advice. Thank you.
I think that's amazing that people are responding 6 months later. That is so cool.
I know, right?
Cool.
It's really cool. Those are my favorite ones to get because I'm like, wow, someone actually really thought about this. So those are so fun. This week I've been having a good time.
Great. Oh, and they all happen at the same time. That's cool. If you love email swipes, you will love my playbooks. They are chock full of inspiration with dozens of examples, color-coded breakdowns, and all the whys and hows and wheres and whats of all the different e-com flows. Even better, they're affordable. One anonymous copywriter said, in a world full of $1,000 and $2,000 copywriting courses, being able to learn a sequence for $52 is amazing. By the way, you can learn them for even less if you get the whole bundle. Another piece of feedback that I loved? I purchased the Welcome Sequence Playback and loved it. It's an easy, flowing read and following it is a breeze. I love how it's so actionable. It takes you step by step through the process, but you don't end up with a templated sequence that sounds the same. I also love how you brought in relevant examples to prove the point you were making. I pull it up before every welcome sequence I write. That's a big point of these playbooks, that you don't end up with the same thing every single time, that you understand the strategy. Just like copywriter Paul Melrose says, since using Nikki's playbook, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without the playbooks would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play
so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Thanks, Nikki. But don't think it's all theory. Holly Williams says, had a quick turnaround deadline on an email sequence I hadn't written in a while, but I didn't even sweat it. I pulled up one of Nikki's playbooks and voila, I had a winning sequence in record time. Nikki's playbooks give you the perfect roadmap for using the data you have to craft email sequences that perform well every single time. Thanks, Nikki. I love your playbooks. And one last one, this one from a founder. I put into action the FAQ email and the 12-hour warning email you suggested, along with two other emails and two texts, and I got over $105,000 in revenue in the weekend from the promo. Pretty neat. Never made so many sales via email. Your book helped me save time to get this done. So whether you want to save time, understand things better, or just get some amazing inspiration, go grab a playbook, or two, or 12, at nikkialbus.com/email-playbooks. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Wish you were in e-com just so that you could grab my playbooks, but you're in SaaS? Don't worry, I got your back with the SaaS Success Pack. Say that 5 times fast. Okay, don't. Just head to the show notes. You'll find the link and grab it there. Okay, back to our show.
Okay, so you've mentioned that there's no follow-ups to this email, but I know because I've received this and taken the quiz and all that, that there are follow-ups to the people who take the quiz. And actually, you mentioned, there was something that you mentioned that I remember seeing in one of the emails. It was that you don't do the work. If you don't do the work, then you're not going to see the results. So you had an email framed around that idea, which I thought was really great because you give so much value in that course, but you have to actually take the course and do the course. So it was a really nice flow, all the different pieces, like trying to get people to take the course and do the pieces. So what was that creation like? Were you involved in that? Was that your team?
Yeah, all me again.
Nice.
And I should mention this, everything. So the course, the quiz, everything. We only have one email address, the whole company, team@podmatch.com. And the way we handle it is there's only three of us that handle any of it. I'm one of them. So if you're responding to one of those emails, chances are it's going to be me getting back to people. And a lot of people are like, man, that does not scale as a founder, but I'm a very community driven, service first type of person. And it's just the way I like to do business. And so we've built a lot of systems around things that typically founders wouldn't automate, that would be their job. We've automated a lot of those bigger picture things so I can focus on a lot of the communication back and forth, because we truly believe we have a community. That's what we believe. And so I wrote those emails as well. And I did two things to come up with those. One was my own experience going through courses, quizzes, and stuff like that. But two, I shared the journey of what I learned along the way and the struggle that I had and the struggle and journey that people had that went through the beta of it. Like what they were coming back with, I just kind of logged all that stuff as data. I'm like an Excel nerd. So I was putting it all in Excel and realizing, okay, like I should send an email about this at this point because people were all saying it felt like a lot or I'm not seeing results. And it's like, well, have you done any of it? Well, no. I'm like, well, it doesn't work for you. So yeah, I just kind of scheduled it out. I shared like a lot of the journey. And one of them, right before I launched this whole thing, before we started, I went to High Ticket Mastermind and I got the hot seat. So it's a bunch of professionals that have done a lot more than I have from a business standpoint. I'm not selling myself short. These are just very accomplished people. And I told them the whole plan. The course previously, I had been selling it for $1,200. Mm-hmm. I was like, but I want to give it for free for anyone who goes through the quiz first. And every single one of them, must have been 15 people there, advised very strongly against doing that. They're like, they're not going to take it seriously. They're not going to go through it. And so one of the emails is that. I literally shared their response of like, they told me not to do it, but I'm doing it anyway because I think it serves. I think I said, prove me right is what I think the title of it was. And I'm asking you, like, prove me right. They made the right decision to invest in you, assuming that you're going to be willing to invest in yourself. And so yeah, the whole thing is very personal the whole way through it. I actually had a lot of fun making that email sequence and we get a lot of responses to it and a lot of people saying, hey, thank you for this email specifically. Mm. And I love that. And again, you're a true professional in this space and I'm not going to claim that I am. It's worked well. It could probably be a little bit better, more impactful, better open rate. There could be all that. But at the end of the day, I know that the people that are really on the journey wanting to make it with their podcast are the ones that are really going through it and taking it very seriously.
I think it was done very well. I think to the point of going through the Excel sheets, that's what we do as copywriters is take what other people are telling us and just spin it into an email that makes sense to read. So you're doing a fabulous job. It's great. And the fact that people are responding and saying thank you for creating this specific email is what got me to move forward. That's incredible. To the point of the one email address, I kept trying different emails to respond to you.
One email you CC'd a bunch of them. I laugh because it's like Alex at and this. I was like, how funny. But it's so rare. And sometimes it bites me in the back a little bit because sometimes I'm like, hey, people are like, oh, how can I email you? I'm like, team@podmatch.com. In person, they're like, seriously, man? Because they're like, that's going to go to your team. I'm like, no, I promise it's me. 100% it's me. I know it sounds weird, But I thought that was really funny. You're the first person I've ever seen do that. I loved it because I've definitely done that a bunch of times as well. You and I think alike.
Oh, that's so great. I was like, I just want to make sure the calendar invite like gets to you and this email gets to you. That's funny. Okay. So when you set this up, this first cold pitch, what were the emotions around that where you're like, okay, I'm going to start sending this quiz out to people? What were the thoughts there?
Terrified. I was very confident in the quiz. I knew that it helped, but I was absolutely terrified. Mm-hmm. Previously doing this, we just invited people to Podmatch and it was going to a much smaller scale. Like we've grown and made more contacts and other people have helped us find people's, hey, this person might be interested, all that, right? But at first it wasn't going to many people, but I was hearing back and people sometimes were just really rude because it seemed robotic. Again, recovering from my long corporate email writing sprint, it seemed more robotic, felt that way. So people didn't mind responding. Probably with the assumption no human was actually going to read it, with some very rude things. Ooh. Again, I'm not like a confrontation guy. And honestly, like it hurt. Mm-hmm. I was doing my best to help. Maybe it wasn't the best delivery on trying to help, but it really did hurt. So when I sent this one, I was legitimately terrified. I told my wife, I'm like, I don't want to read any response. Mm-hmm. I put everything into this, but I just have a feeling the first one's going to be, hey, F off, man. Right. Mm-hmm. And that stuff hurts. Some people, it doesn't. And I've got a coach in my life who has helped me learn to, he doesn't say develop thick skin. He says develop translucent skin where it just doesn't stick at all.
Interesting.
It's helping. But at the end of the day, what really made me okay with the emotion was knowing that, hey, I really do have a heart to serve. And there's no capitalistic me first mentality in anything I'm sending here. Like I really am trying to help. And if someone doesn't see that or they're not interested, I'm still going to just love them regardless, but let them feel the way they do. And that's what I've come to the conclusion of. But absolutely terrified. Like one of the most scary things I've ever done was hitting launch or go live with all that there. So it took a lot for me to do that.
For sure. It's very hard putting yourself out there, especially when people are rude back and you've had experience like that. So did you not read the responses initially?
No, I did.
Wow,
I did.
You.
So Alicia, my wife, she's also one of the three business partners in this. Mm-hmm. So she's like the gatekeeper of like a new email that comes through. So that would technically go to her first. And I want to say, she's never told me this, but I'm pretty sure she filtered some of the nice ones to me to build my confidence. And she probably handled the meaner ones. But I don't know. I did see a few of those come through. But at the end of the day, I just had to remember like, hey, you know what? If this is not someone I can help, it's not someone I can help. That's okay. And we still respond to even, unless it's just absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But we'll still respond to even the mean ones, not to try to convert them, just to say, hey, so sorry. Want to let you know we won't be emailing you again.
That's awesome.
And just to do that. But I think at first, she probably gated those and gave me just a few of the nice ones to boost my confidence. But yeah, from day one, we respond to anything that comes through.
Wow, that's so cool. Okay, so as time went on, what were the different responses you got? And even just the results in terms of the amount of people taking the quiz, things like that.
Yeah, to date, we've had just under 6,000 people take it. And it's been going for, at time of recording this, about a year. And so it's been a great result, people taking the quiz. And the responses have been all over the place. Some people jumping straight into the quiz and then the course side of it as well and learning. And I engage with all the comments there as well. Again, communication is really what I've freed up my time to do, to really educate. Because I just find the better podcasters do, the better we do as a company, which creates a great win-win. But a lot of the response have been very interesting. People said, would kind of do a deep dive research into like, okay, who's this guy emailing me, making sure I'm legit, which actually, that's what I do. I really appreciate that. I don't necessarily follow blindly when it's a cold outreach. I want to see, okay, what has this person done? And a lot of people would say, hey, I saw that you have done this or you had a podcast about this. Can you help me with X? Or, hey, I'm struggling with Y. Or what are your thoughts on Z? And I actually really like that. So it opens this dialogue and often it doesn't even turn into, at least initially, someone taking the quiz, but they actually have like a direct question. A great example is today, somebody responded like, hey, this was perfect timing. Can't take the quiz right now. I'm really busy, but I just had somebody send me a cease and desist letter because the name of my podcast matches their company. What can I do with this? And I'm not a legal guy, but I do know a specific lawyer that works in podcasting. He's a podcast lawyer. That's literally what he calls himself. I know, right? So cool. So I was able to make an introduction there, which might really help this person with their show if they actually are like needing to be compliant with something. But that's the type of thing that I'm getting responses with, which otherwise someone might have just been like, okay, maybe I'll just quit my podcast and pretend like I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that would have been the case. That would be very extreme, but perhaps it could have been a timed email like that without knowing or realizing that was the timing that we were going to have was to me just like a really cool thing. So getting responses like that is what really makes my day, knowing that like, hey, I did have a real impact to help this person. And because of that, they're going to be able to impact listeners' lives, which I believe makes the world a better place.
That is so cool. I was going to ask if people respond with the help question, you know, like, hey, if there's anything I could do to help, because it's such an open-ended question that you could see people either just saying, forget it, he doesn't really mean it, this founder who has time to help little old me, Or you could see people really taking advantage and saying like, oh, wow, he can help me. Okay, I'm going to hit respond. So that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, I like that part of it too. And sometimes people will say, hey, Alex and team or whoever checks this will be in the opening line. And I'm always like, hey, it is Alex. And sometimes I'll even send a video response. If it's something that's going to take me more than 2 minutes to write an email on, I find sending a 30-second video is much quicker and I get my information out better. So sometimes I just use a website called loom.com. I'm not affiliated with them, but it lets me do a very quick recording and I can just drop it right in the email. So then people are like, oh, wow, you are real. One time someone's like, is this AI? I was like, I can't win. Can't win.
Wow. Yeah. And it really builds the relationship more. Again, it has that whole idea of the podcasting where you're building that relationship with the person instead of just words. I love that, by the way, that you got 6,000 people. Like, clearly you are being proved right. People are taking the quiz. That's so great.
Yeah. It's such a blessing. It's so cool.
What do you think contributed to this email success and the whole strategy success?
It's that podcasters typically are people that are very, have an abundance mindset. Typically, they're eager to learn. They want to grow. They actually have a passion, a purpose, what they're doing. They want to serve somebody. So when they see something that can help them do that better, a lot of them are like, yeah, I want to engage with that sort of thing. That's exactly why I got into the space. And for me, that's why I got into the space. I got into podcasting because I immediately realized the people and community that make up podcasting I was getting around, I'm like, man, these people, like, they have a desire to level up. They're not all trying to get rich and famous and stuff, but they have a desire to serve people and to grow together. And so I think the reason it's been so successful is because it comes from that frame of like, hey, we're here to learn and grow together. Mm-hmm. Let's make this happen. I really think that that's it. If it was an industry more like I brought coaching earlier, mm-hmm. if it was something like that where I'm trying to sell coaches more leads, it probably wouldn't go as well because people are like, I need more money. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for this. I just need more money. And so and not talking about coaches, coaches have their place and they're great. I have coaches, right? But I just find that because it's like the creator economy, it just mm-hmm. brings a different type of person. And I'm speaking very general. There's outliers, of course, but I really think that's been what's made it so successful is the fact that it's just in the right space for the type of email that it is.
That's such a great insight. And that's really what it's about. Like we mentioned before about the best practices, you know, best practices only work for where it works. So this is a perfect fit for what it is, which is so great.
Yeah.
If you, you don't have to go back in time. It's still going out now. Is there anything where you were like, hey, I maybe want to tweak this? Or, I mean, you mentioned that you do continuously tweak anything, but is there anything that you did change or you're thinking about changing or anything that should be done differently?
I still think my verbiage is a little bit big. I don't know how else really? To say it. Some of the words I use are bigger words. And bigger words, I literally mean they're longer words. They have more letters mm-hmm. in them. And I want it to roll off the tongue very easily for someone reading it. I don't want it to be like, I get it now. I don't want people saying that when they're reading my email, right? I don't want it to mm-hmm. be like, congrats on your success. Oh, I see. I don't want there to be any confusion. I think that some of it there might be. And I use a little bit of filler words. And mm-hmm. when I speak, you can also hear that I use a little bit of filler words. But I do want to learn to cut those out of the email to make it a little bit easier just to read through quickly. It goes beyond my expertise, but I am learning and growing as time goes on. So yeah, I'm going to focus on continuous improvement with it. That's kind of my whole theme of anything that I create is just I'm going to get better over time. But yeah, I want the words to be smaller. I want it to be simpler and just get it down to really just the point as fast as possible and not losing my voice in it.
I like the idea of you use filler words in your speech. So let's put some filler words in the email so it still continues to sound like you. And then as you get better at removing the filler words from your speech, you can remove them from the emails as well. That's cool.
Yeah, 1% better every day. I got a long way to go, but 1% every day works for me.
That's the only way to do it. You burn out if you try too fast.
Right.
Okay, any other emails in your upcoming strategy that are similar to this?
I wouldn't say we have anything else that's similar to this. And as a matter of fact, like on the software side of Podmatch, like if someone joins, we don't have a newsletter for Podmatch. There's notification emails and things like that. And people can choose to enable or disable however they want. But we don't go beyond that. The only other place that we have any emails that go out, which we more recently started doing, is we have a community side of what we have, which is where the course is inside of our Mighty Networks community. That's the company mm-hmm. we use. Again, not affiliated, but mightynetworks.com is what we use. We just like it for community building and for course creation. Mm-hmm. And so we recently started using the notification features. And it's usually me posting some update or anything like that that we've got going on. And I'll choose yes to notify and it'll email people that are in the community side of what we do. And that's the only other email that we actually have. But I always make sure that's typically pretty personal or important. Mm-hmm. I don't care about it getting shared around and stuff, but I want it to be something that adds value to the person who's receiving it. So I'm very careful with notify yes or no. It's always a no if it's something that people don't need to know, but it's a yes if it's something that I find that would be very interesting or helpful to people that are involved in the process. So aside from that, we don't have any other emails that we do or anything like that. Again, we're very value driven. We try not to be overly abusive of somebody's inbox. We try to be respectful of, hey, let's make sure we're giving them what they're interested in. So we've got no other plans to do anything else at this point, just to get better and better at what we're currently doing to make sure we're delivering it in the best possible way, in a way that really serves.
Cool. I mean, just to keep improving what you do have already in place is, it's 1% better every day.
Right. Yeah.
So do you swipe emails? Are there any emails that you subscribe to their emails and you're just like, this is such a good email, this is inspiring me in XYZ kind of way?
Yeah, I'm going to go with two that really helped me a lot. And one, unfortunately, is no more. But Michael Hyatt, it used to be michaelhyatt.com. It's now Focus Co. So they still do emails. It's just more corporate, more from the company for their product.
Right.
Michael Hyatt used to, if we're going way back, Nikki, I assume you're younger than me, but back in my day, Michael Hyatt had his own website and he was a blogger and he would just send out these emails that were very like written from the heart. And yeah, they came out in a schedule. I know I was in a sequence, but I always loved getting them because I felt like I was getting to know Michael. Mm-hmm. And I just really liked that. And it was helping me as a blogger myself, just trying to figure things out. That made it really fun for me. So I really liked that one. And now again, it's Focus Co., which it's shifted a bit. But then one was Brendan Bruchard, mm-hmm. high performance coach, someone who's always just really helped me. And I just find his emails, it's like, you don't even need to click any of the links in it. It's already super valuable. And for me, it's just like, man, I love that. And there was often times where I'd get the email and I wouldn't even click through anything, but I'd read it and it'd be like, man, that's the takeaway I needed today. Like, I love that.
Wow.
And both of them had very simple, like no real formatting. It was just like, here's what you need to hear. And that's it. And I have a lot of respect for both those people. So Michael Hyatt and Brendan Bruchard really helped inspire the voice I've developed over time online.
That's so cool that the content's helpful, but also just the way that they present it, helping you develop your voice. Very cool.
Yeah.
I think I subscribed to Michael's list right as that shift was happening, because I remember being a little like, wait, what? Focus? What? I thought it was.
Right. Oh, no, you were
so
on that one.
Yeah. Like I hadn't built that relationship with him. And then I was like, okay, here's this new company that I'm going to be subscribing to and we'll see if we like it. So
right.
That's really interesting. Okay. Thanks so much. This was amazing. There's so much here. I love getting the thoughts from someone outside of email who's still doing email really well and seeing that quote unquote normal person perspective, but still you're still focused on the results and building the relationship. So that core is there, but it gives such a new perspective. It's really great. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Nikki. I really appreciate it. And also I learned a lot today just from your responses and awesome. Stuff. It gave me some good insurance and make me feel even more confident. I love and respect what you're doing. You're doing an incredible job here.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me for Email Story Time. If you enjoyed today's story, give this podcast a review so email marketers like you can have more fun with email. See you next week when we dig into this story's takeaways.